So, Boker Tov, good morning. I'm going to suggest some ways for us to practice today. Before going into that, just want to inform you that I'm kind of informing you after it's already happening, but there's going to be some work happening on the dining room today. You probably won't notice, but they're going to make it even more beautiful and welcoming for everyone. So there'll be a transition period, yeah, where there might be some unpleasant sounds and things like that for us to practice with, and then maybe by the end there'll be a very pleasant sight for us to practice with. But just so you know, that's happening, and they're, you know, aware that we're doing a retreat and, you know, want to be supportive to us as well. So that's really delightful. And the other practical thing is we've put up a list for the for those who said they would like to meet in a group today, and those will happen at 12:15. So if you just want to check where you need to be if you're coming to that. So the first thing to say before I, you know, say any more about this Vedana practice that we talked about last night is that you don't have to do it, you know. And sometimes this period of time, can I see on the thing? Anyway, sometimes it's called meditation instructions, you know. I much prefer meditation suggestion. You know, it's a suggestion. You could try this. If it's not right, it's not the right time, it's being recorded, you can go back, try it at another time. And or you can try it today, you know, and it's like an invitation, yeah, not a thing you have to do. So really being sensitive to yourself, it's like, I can remember on my first retreat, because by the next one I'd already gotten used to the fact that the instructions keep changing, and I went up to the teacher and said, I haven't finished with the breath yet, and you're asking us to do something else? It's like, and they said, yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, it can be endless what you can do with the breath and what you can explore, and or with sounds, or but it was breath that I was working with. But there are these other things to pay attention to. It can be helpful to pay attention to them. So I'm kind of offering it in that spirit. Yeah, if you want to try something else, I think it's quite helpful and it can support in different ways. But it doesn't need to be like, oh yeah, I did the beginner stuff and now, you know, now I'm good enough to do the rest. It's just like, if the heart and mind are quiet enough, we can start to investigate, explore our experience, and that might support other things. Yeah. So what we've been doing so far would be called kind of samatha or even samadhi practice, yeah, which is kind of quietening, calming, slowing down, getting sensitive with body, heart and mind, and breathing deeply, listening widely through the metta, you know, developing kindness, and all of these support a sense of stability, slowing down, stillness, relaxation, presence, you know, really beautiful, valuable things. And then there's this other kind of practice that we started to speak about a little bit yesterday more, which is you start to notice stuff, yeah? So it's an insight to notice, well, nothing's constant. Everything's flowing. Every mind state, every sensation, every sound, it arises and it passes. And what you may notice is that when you apply that insight, yeah, when you look that way, it's like, oh yeah, and that supports further kind of calming, relaxing, gathering, stability. Yeah, it's like, oh, this is going to pass. So it's insightful. So what we would say, what I would say, is that this kind of samadhi, this samatha, is like the felt sense of something freeing, something getting more free. Yeah. The insight is the understanding, yeah, of life, which supports more sense of things becoming free. Yeah? Because I might misunderstand and think, oh, this is going to be permanent, I'm going to be like this forever, or this is always going to be there. Yeah? And that kind of builds up pressure, and we feel less free there. Say, ah, but this is also going to pass. Maybe I can actually be with it. Maybe I can actually breathe through this. Maybe I can stay a little bit calmer, a little bit more relaxed. Yeah. And another aspect is this kind of metta. Yeah, this friendliness, this benevolence, this welcoming, this kindness is another expression of freedom, like the kind of relational quality of freedom. Yeah. Not in a battle with others, not needing others to be a certain way. I can just be, yeah. Like we spoke about yesterday, this sense everything is arising to be met with kindness and care. Other beings, sounds, sensations. So metta, this relational quality. Yeah. So that's to kind of say these all support each other, so any of them can be appropriate. What I'm suggesting today is we explore insight, but it's not as something separate, it's something that supports, arises from, feeds back into, however you want to put it. Yeah. So what that actually means, and this is why we start with more the samatha, samadhi, the calming, the centering, the gathering, is to do insight practice without getting too agitated, we need a bit of calmness, spaciousness, presence. And the fruit of insight practice is it brings us more calm, more centered, more open. Yeah? But you need a little bit in the beginning, otherwise it can be kind of, can be agitating, disruptive, yeah, difficult. So we're not, you know, shifting the whole practice to now it's we're doing insight, you know, but actually thinking more about a wise response. What do we need now? What do you need? Maybe a little while with long, deep breaths, something soothing, something calming, or some metta practice. And then when we feel stable, we feel settled, then we start to turn the attention. And maybe we turn the attention to Vedana. Turn the attention to Anicca in this way. Yeah. Mainly we're actually going to be, I'm going to be exploring this Vedana practice. Yeah. So what does that mean practically? Yeah. Just so you have a framework, a suggestion. Yeah. The volume up? Can I go up to 11? Yeah? Is that better? Yeah. So practically, what does this mean? Maybe one of the sittings would be really dedicated to calming, steadying, gathering, however you want to put it, yeah. And then the next one, we kind of introduce more of like, just noticing this, when we come back, when we're present, what's the Vedana here? Is it pleasant? Is it unpleasant? Is it neither? So it's really clear what I'm doing in this session, what I'm doing in that session. Yeah. It could be that we combine them. So we kind of start off steadying, calming, opening, and I feel like, yeah, now I'm quite present, quite well with this. And when I come back in, just noticing the Vedana there. So, speak a little bit more about what to do in terms of that practice. Yeah. So just to kind of, those could be some suggestions. But the main point is don't completely abandon the cultivation, the breathing, the listening kind of practice. So yesterday we spoke about two insights. Yeah. One which I think is relatively obvious. Yeah. Everything changes. Once you start paying attention, once you start doing meditation practice, I think you start to notice, wow, there's this flux, this flow, this arising and passing. Nothing here in experience we can hold on to. It's all transitioning, even how I feel about myself, yeah, who I feel I am, changes through times, different moods, different mind states, different body sensations, different sounds. There's something opens around that. And then there's the more subtle one, which is that whenever there's contact, it's filtered. Yeah. You get this sense that, oh, I'm noticing that and it's unpleasant. I'm noticing that and it's nice. And then all of the other things that we're not noticing, or are filtered out, or are very subtle, and they don't necessarily get given or are felt to deserve our attention. And the point being, yeah, we don't need to live that way. We can live in other ways. But even though anicca, inconstancy, impermanence, is obvious, we forget it, you know? And so it's really good to remind yourself that, ah, this moment must be inconstant. It must be not fixed. It must be flowing. And just sort of drop that in, see what happens, right? Maybe it brightens the moment for you. Gets interested, ah, it's only here for a moment. It's only here for a moment. Maybe we can see this moment itself is precious, unique, will never be repeated. I can pay attention to it. Maybe it opens a sense of wonder. You know, what can this be? How would it be? Maybe it also affects us like somewhere else on the emotional range. Maybe it makes us feel a bit tender. It's like, ah, this moment, it's already gone. You know, some kind of sense of loss with that. So just being sensitive, like, how is it as we open to this? You might feel touched, might feel moved in various ways. And so remembering, yeah? Don't forget your samadhi practice, the samatha practice, the breathing, the metta. Yeah? Working with this range of emotional responses. So being sensitive and supportive as you develop a skill and use the skills you've already developed. But what we'll notice maybe is that when we recognize that things are just appearing here for a moment, maybe we don't get quite so worked up, yeah, in relationship to the Vedana. Yeah? This is pleasant. Ah, I'm here for a moment. I don't need to grab onto this so much, you know. Maybe I can hold the space for that. Well, this is unpleasant. Ah, it's just here for a moment. And still breathe, stay relaxed. I don't need to get into mission mode so much. Yeah. Well, this here, it's not getting a lot of my attention. Yeah. Ah, noticing that, tuning into that, just for its small moment of existence. Just in that moment, I can be with it. Now that could be a whole practice in and of itself, just noticing anicca, just noticing, ah, this can't last, this can't last. And it probably should be a whole practice, but we only have a relatively short retreat and I wanted more to focus on the Vedana. I feel like it might be overall more useful for us. That was my guess, my instinct, my intuition. So, but know that it is a practice in and of itself. All of this is resting on mindfulness, yeah, noticing what's here, right now. And so one beautiful description of the practice of mindfulness is noticing what's here without judging it. Yeah. Oh, this is what's here. It's not something wrong with me that this is here, just noticing it, just getting to know it. And then we can investigate it. So have I noticed that this is inconstant? Have I noticed that this has a Vedana? Just inviting yourself to tune into that. And it might be very subtle. You might be, I don't know what the Vedana is, I can't tell. Yeah. It might be that subtle. So, okay, probably not particularly pleasant, not particularly unpleasant. Many of them may be, when we just bring in a mindful moment, say, okay, can I be with this? Can I just be with this? That's the invitation. So it's normal, it's habitual, it probably can't be avoided that gets added on. Yeah, that's life, that's the life experience. What we're trying to do is not lead into reactivity. Yeah. The demanding, the push and the pull of tanha, which expresses and builds dukkha. Yeah. Seeing, oh, this has happened. But I have options, I have possibilities. So we can play here. So there's a few things I want to add in that we didn't touch on yesterday. So a lot of that was by way of kind of review and also kind of describing the practice. But there's a couple more insights that I think are helpful and sometimes don't get expressed. So if you've heard about Vedana practice before, may not have kind of heard all of these, I'm not sure. The Vedana only refers to the phenomena, the appearance, in relation to me. Yeah? It's not independently pleasant or independently unpleasant. It depends on how I'm showing up right now. Right? So drilling of, I don't know what it is, metal going into metal, or you know, metal falling on concrete, and I think that's unpleasant. It's universally unpleasant. There's no one in the universe who could be enjoying that sound. And then you'll kind of go up and you'll see maybe a 3 or 4 year old sitting there going, yeah, you know, really, oh, that's so cool, that sound, that crushing thing. And it's like, okay, there's no independent Vedana attributed to anything. It's according to me, according to some part of me in this moment of time, this Vedana is landing on there. So it's actually quite light, yeah? But we take it, and it's just an opinion. You know, it's just like, well, I think it's kind of unpleasant. And it's like, that's just your opinion, yeah? It's not a fact. And we often mistake opinions for facts. It's another life skill, yeah? Mistaking opinions for facts. Another way of saying that is it's not inherent to the phenomena. It doesn't belong to it, yeah? Just in the same way as your clothes don't belong to your body, you know, they're kind of put on. Yeah? So the Vedana is put on to the phenomena as we experience it. We can't experience it without the Vedana, without some kind of Vedana, yeah, because it's either pleasant, it's either unpleasant, or it's not really pleasant or unpleasant. There isn't really another option in there, because the third camp is everything else. Yeah. And so we're not aiming for that. But we're just understanding, oh, this is added on, and it's probably quite deeply affected by how I'm feeling and how this moment's appearing and all the rest, yeah? Another way of saying this is actually all phenomena are empty of their Vedana, yeah? It's kind of like if you're into emptiness teachings, teachings about things being empty, it's like the Vedana is just added on. It doesn't belong to it, and it can drop it, and it can change it. So as we said yesterday, we joked about this kind of supreme court of Vedana where you can just say, you know, actually you're going to have a different coat on today. You're going to be, and I'm going to see all metal crushing into concrete as pleasant, delightful. One of my favorite sounds, you know, and we can see it that way and enjoy it and appreciate it. Yeah. What you'll also notice is that it can generalize, yeah? So you might have thought or said this, in fact, my body was in constant pain all the way through the meditation. Yeah? And actually what you really meant was there was 5 minutes where my knee hurt quite a bit. You know, and it's like we kind of generalize, exaggerate, build it up, because it's what we paid attention to. And so the Vedana noticing invites us, like, well, what else is there? Oh yeah, the little finger has actually been having a great retreat so far. He hasn't experienced any pain. It's just chilling. It's just, wow. You know, it's always having moderately pleasant, sometimes dipping down into the kind of neutrally kind of space, but it's never gone into pain so far. Yeah, but it's not getting a lot of our attention. And so we kind of generalize and say, the body was in a lot of pain. But not the body, some parts. Yeah. And so it kind of gets us something a little bit more accurate, and that can also support us to be more appropriate to our experience. Yeah? Some parts need soothing. Some parts just aren't getting any attention. Where are we going to place the attention? How are we going to place the attention? What are we going to support for ourselves in that practice? Yeah. So there's no such thing as a fixed Vedana. It can't be fixed on anything. It will change over time. Depending on us, depending on how we relate, and depending on what we choose to pay attention to, and how, yeah, which is all that we were doing in the Samatha practices. What are you going to pay attention to? How are you going to pay attention? Yeah. So I hope the kind of the so what is kind of obvious, right? We're not leading to more escalation, the building up of experience, not getting into panic, not getting into frantic mode, not trying to grab onto things which can't last, not trying to get rid of every small thing that appears and is treated as a threat. Yeah. So we're developing the calmness, the steadiness through this way. Yeah. Because if we grasp onto what's pleasant, that's dukkha. Yeah. You grasp onto what's pleasant, it's dukkha. We can still appreciate, hold the space, enjoy, delight. Ah, lovely smell. But I don't need to hold on to it. Yeah? I can enjoy it, appreciate it, and then also let it go. And what's unpleasant, yeah, I don't need to get rid of it, I don't need to reject it. And I can maybe allow myself still to be touched. It's like, oh, that's painful. Not ignoring it, but I'm also not getting into that panic, not building it up, holding it, offering it kindness, compassion, whether it's in my body, your body, the world, yeah? And those which are, you know, not strongly pleasant, not strongly unpleasant, generally, you know, getting ignored, or we might be having an experience that sometimes we call boredom. Oh, this is boring, this is boring, you know? The Vedana is too neutral. I can't get fired up about this, I can't get interested. And that's also dukkha. There's a subtle aversion in boredom. Yeah. Some of you may have heard this before, I think, so I mentioned something about trying to get more bored. Is that right? Yeah. Because it depends on the aversion. It depends on the not wanting it. You try and get more bored, you've switched it around. It's almost like you're greedy for boredom. And greediness for boredom isn't boredom anymore. Yeah. It's something interesting. It's like, well, can I get more? How do you get more of this stuff? You know, how do you work with this? And so bring in interest. Interest to that which is ignored. So there are these different ways of relating to Vedana that don't lead to dukkha in the same way. Now, all the habitual responses are contracting. And these other ways, you can feel that they kind of open. But we're not ignoring the pleasant, not ignoring the unpleasant, not ignoring the neutral. We're invited into a different way of being. And this is, can be really skillful, particularly if we, you know, get built up into a emotional storm. Yeah, you can just come in and say, "Oh, this is unpleasant." Now, example: not firing more arrows. Yeah, not firing more arrows. So, oh, okay, this is unpleasant. This is unpleasant. I can breathe. I can stay steady. So in a sense, we're just saying the goal of this practice is just to notice it. Just to notice it and not get reactive. Just, ah, it's unpleasant. That's unpleasant. Yeah. Definitely unpleasant. Okay. But I'm not freaking out. Holding the space for this. Not firing more arrows. And if at times doing this practice seems to open something, you know, this is the idea. It may open a space that feels actually a bit more happy, a bit more well, like a sense of well-being. That because we're not in the reactivity, not at least in the normal kind of reactivity. And there's a kind of a peacefulness, maybe a quiet, subtle joyfulness that can arise in the practice at times. Yeah. May be too subtle to notice, it may not, you know, kind of happen for you. But if it does, if there's just a feeling, it's like, oh, I feel good. I feel quite deeply okay. Just see if you can support that. So there's kind of a samatha samadhi with that, a steadiness with that. Just breathing with that, yeah? Not needing to go, oh, I must notice the Vedana of it instantly. Oh, it's pleasant, now am I grasping on? You know, like, ah, oh, can be with that. If you like, you can apply the Vedana practice to this as well. Yeah? Oh, opening around that. But just every so often, just enjoy if there's a moment where you feel okay. Yeah? Just remembering that as well. You can enjoy the good. It's a really counter-evolutionary move in experience, yeah. oh, so let's pause and enjoy this moment. Yeah. Okay, so should we do it as a practice? And then we'll have time afterwards for any kind of questions and refinements that we feel would be helpful. Just getting into what feels like a comfortable posture. And we'll take a few moments just to tune in with the breath or whatever it is you've been using as and a grounding, supportive practice. Maybe as you breathe, you just notice that this moment's just completely fresh. And disappearing, moment by moment. It's only one moment. Whatever's appearing is just arising and passing. Noticing, is there anywhere in the body that feels unpleasant, could be, feels a bit tight, a bit achy? Not trying to fix it or soothe it, just noticing. If we can hold the space for that, not too tightly, just noticing. not reacting. We're with the breath, we might just breathe around that area. And just listen to the sensations of that. If you're able to get closer to it, seeing the sensations that this is made up of, kind of rippling into and out of being of various sensations. Sometimes we can notice that on a certain level it's actually not unpleasant or painful. So if you've kind of dived into that experience, maybe widening back out again. Maybe it appears differently now. Maybe it feels the same, just noticing. Do the same in the realm of sounds. Is there a sound here that's not so pleasant? So holding the space for it. Just noticing the vibrations, the anicca appearance and disappearance that this is made up of. Feel free to follow your own rhythm, maybe coming back to just breathing, just listening, whatever's your calming, steadying practice. And then every so often just notice if there's anything unpleasant that grabs the attention. And very slowly holding the space for it. And then seeing if it's possible to get close to how it's made up also from other vibrations. So get inside the label of Vedana. So if there's a response of boredom, it also has this kind of unpleasant vedana to it, is it possible to hold the space for that? This is unpleasant. Not reacting. Invite you to notice in your experience, is there anything at all that's okay or nice or pleasant? Is there any part of the body that feels fine? You mentioned the little finger, maybe the inside of the elbows, top of the mouth. The ears. Or it might be a sound, the bird song. Or the silence between sounds. So is it possible just to notice those without pulling them more towards us, holding the space, having attention, getting to know. They're also made up of vibrations, sensations. Exploring your own balance, using the breath, listening to sounds as a support, and particularly noticing if there's anything okay in attention when we can notice it. Inviting you to notice what's the Vedana of this moment of practice. And what you may notice is when you notice it, the Vedana also changes in some way. It's always a new moment, and each moment has a Vedana, unique, its own. mentioned before, that bringing attention, giving attention, is actually an act of generosity. There's a kindness in paying attention. And so mindfulness isn't neutral, it actually changes the Vedana. There's kind of metta in mindfulness. And that metta usually makes the experience a little more pleasant. The default setting can be judgment or rejection. And you can see how being with, being open to, is nice for us and nice for that which we pay attention to. And for that reason, it's very difficult to be mindful with a more neutral Vedana, because the attention inclines it to something more pleasant. Let's explore it and see as best we can do it. Maybe there's some area of the body that's not really feeling anything too much. Maybe it's the sides of the legs or the buttocks or the internal organs. Is there anything, maybe if we're more practicing in the realm of sounds, that's a neutral sound that we could find? So understanding that bringing mindfulness to these things probably shapes them somewhat. Still exploring, but maybe we could try something broad, like just that there are sounds. Maybe that's something we're not paying attention to, is relatively not thought to be pleasant or unpleasant, just that there are sounds. That there is a body. There is a sense of the body. So how is it to stay there, stay sensitive to that as best we can? Just remembering, if bringing presence to anything is in any way delightful, enjoyable, you're perfectly welcome to just enjoy the peace, the quiet joy of intimacy, connection, sensation. sensitivity. If the mind is going to something that's less pleasant, can we just open and allow, support sensitivity to that? Breathe with that. You're probably well aware that mindfulness is also inconstant. Sometimes we're present. Quite a lot of the time we're not. When you find yourself not here, not present, not connected, what's the vedana of that moment? Or in a story? Seeing what's the vedana of body, heart and mind coming back together? In a present moment, quite connected, quite intimate, quite sensitive. Is that a more pleasant vedana or less? For this last minute, opening the space, not even keeping to one sense door, just whatever arises in attention, we just allowing it to arise and pass, noticing the vedana of that open space. So notice the vedana of the bell at the end. sure, mostly unpleasant, really disappointed, it's over. But just have to be with these things. So you may notice, you know, kind of insight practice sometimes has an intensity to it, and it's so you can see why you might want to balance it and support it with calmness and presence. I just say a few words. We can also bring this into the walking as well. Yeah? Every moment has a vedana, can lead to reactivity. Sometimes doing the walking practice, it's like, oh, no, I don't want to. You know, I want to have a pleasant whatever, cup of tea or lie on the grass or whatever. So it's kind of a question, can we embrace that, support that? It's like, oh, kind of don't want to, but then we start doing it, we actually may know, I actually really enjoy walking up and down. I actually enjoy the simplicity of feeling the contact, the movement of the body. Yeah. But funnily enough, I would say, you know, this is something I notice in relationship to, you know, yoga, walking meditation, various other things. Before doing it, it has a very clear, like, unpleasant vedana. And actually in doing it, it's actually very pleasant. I don't understand why I can't fully reprogram my heart and mind to understand this. You know, no, I really enjoy it. No, you don't. So, you know, like I said, you have to take the Supreme Court position occasionally and say, no, we really do enjoy it. And let's see what will happen when we do it. And when we're doing it, notice that there's a lot of different vedanas available there, yeah, all the way through the path. You know, maybe as we pass over the, you know, the green part where the flowers have fallen or something like this, you know, or stepping over the ants, you know, whatever's going on there, it has these different flavors, and can I be with all the aspects of that? So one of the beauties of vedana practice is being with more of life, yeah, in kind of an equanimous way, an open way, sensitive way. So yeah, I hope it's a nice practice to bring in. I hope it's supportive for your well-being and your practice. And let's have a moment where those who want to go out and have the incredibly pleasant experience of some walking meditation can go and do that. And those who want to stay, we can have some questions and responses in the hall with anything that feels will be helpful to explore together. Okay, so choose where you'd like to be.